It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And yes, it is that rarest of gems, live broadcasting on Christmas Eve. This is the Horn Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live from Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. At least for the time being. And if you do wander over to the chat room, you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky. Hi, Anatole. Hi, Squeaky. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space this gray Northern California day to become Man Cave, and he's doing chores in his early afternoon. I don't know why he can't just fold chores the way he folds space, but, well, some things still have to be done the old-fashioned way. Hi, I'm Bob, and ready to go. Just so you guys would know that it's still here. I wrap it up every evening. I unwrap it when the program starts. The emergency Tootsie Pop, just in case the urge to smoke gets too brutal. Let's see, I think I need to angle the stick that way. It makes it easier to grab. Yeah, good. Our far Calgary Mountain winter frozen north correspondent Lauren just checked in and said, in the unmolested Facebook space here live from my couch. Well, enjoy. And this is not just any Titanic Tuesday, Trump-tanic Tuesday. It is Trump-tanic Tuesday, of course, and we've got Trump-tanic Tuesday material. But this is a special Christmas Eve on the front porch. And if you'd like to participate in Christmas Eve on the front porch, well, there's a great big red banner across the webpage with a little blue button that you can click to get you into the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation. We'll get that going here in a little bit. And look, am I Christmassy or am I Christmassy? You see, red. Listen, on my monitor, it looks a little orange, but please believe me when I tell you it's about as red can get. And not just that. Wait for it. Uh-huh. Green pants. Grinch green Levi's. And a red shirt. You can't get. I thought about getting the Santa hat, but since most of my head's cut off anyway, there really wouldn't have been any point to it. No, but I'm looking forward to a rambling, rousing Christmas Eve on the front porch conversation. I hope you'll join in, and I hope you'll have as much fun with it as do I. And by the way, this program, like every other program on the Horn, begins with gratitude. Thanks going out to our subscribers this evening, Samson and Josh and James and Pamela out in Washington State. Thank you. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. You know, when you're a $10 a month subscriber, you are just frittering away the cost of less than half of a pack of chewing gum for every program here. Hell, that's cheaper than a song on iTunes. Yeah, how about that? So thank you to our subscribers. And by the way, thank you very kindly to Anatole over in the chat room for getting us started this evening. We started out the evening at $310 on fundraising just to keep this little non-capitalist exercise in broadcast community on the air. And Anatole took us down to $285. So, yeah. Yep, $285, ciphering, you know, with me, problem. But we've got $285 to go to make it even at the end of this evening. And so what, calendar-wise, we've got how many broadcasts left in 2019? Let's see, one, because no program tomorrow. We'll have a program the 26th and Friday on the front porch on the 27th. And then we'll have programs on the 30th and 31st. Very likely on the 31st, because, you know, it's fairly early. There's no reason. So we'll have a New Year's Eve, probably a New Year's Eve on the front porch. So that's one, two, three, four more programs to round out 2019. And hopefully we'll finish 2019 without a fundraising deficit and finish December the same way. So going forward, we're at $285, and anybody that wants to help out, just run on over to headon.live and click on the contribute tab. And, well, if you'd like to become a new subscriber, we'd love to have you as a new subscriber. And, of course, come Thursday, we will be celebrating Ferg's 24th birthday. He feels old. Yeah. Had a rough year, but we're looking for better ones going forward. If he's listening, hi, son. So here we are, the night before Christmas and all of that, and these can be tough times. The holiday season can be rough on people for any number of reasons. I mean, it's weird for me being away on Christmas. But I'm trying to find the upsides. I've got, for the first time, like I said, for the first time in my life, I've got my traditional Christmas tamales, not out of a can, real, made with love, red and green both, plenty of sauce to go with them, all the accoutrements, which is not Spanish at all. That word's French, but oh well. And tomorrow, I'm going over to a dear friend's house, probably about 11 in the morning, and we'll do some Christmas morning, Christmas afternoon kind of stuff. And I'm still toying with the idea of whether to go out and take in the pomp and circumstance at midnight tonight at the local, at one of the local gospel shops. I haven't decided yet. I was also thinking maybe compare theirs at midnight with whatever the Catholic lights do tomorrow morning. Sort of compare and contrast from an outside perspective. I don't know. Would y'all do that? So, but like I said, the holidays can be hard. And apparently, according to Voice of America, because this is this is Trump-tanic Tuesday. Voice of America got hold of a study from a nonpartisan research outfit called Wakefield Research. And Wakefield Research did some polling among among Americans, and particularly millennials. And among the millennials they talked to, 22% of the people in their 20s and 30s said that they had broken up with someone over political differences. Yeah. And also, 35% of millennials say they know of at least one marriage that has been negatively impacted by the election of Donald J. Trump. The J stands for Jesus. And so Voice of America News had the story of a woman by the name of Jennifer Merrill who has filed for divorce because, as she put it, her husband's husband's Trump support had become a cause for her of what she described as frustration and embarrassment. Frustration and embarrassment. Because she's decidedly not a maggot. And consequently, she decided, she you know, takes part in anti-Trump protests and demonstrations. And she said, her husband, he would just laugh about it and continue to defend him, meaning Trump. So that made me very, very angry. And so she went down and filed for divorce. You got that? I mean, let that sink in for a minute. People's marriages, you know, those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered marriages betwixt one man and one woman, are being ruined by the presidency of Donald J. Trump. Now, bear in mind, Jennifer Merrill, it's not like her... her wedded bliss was of recent vintage. You know, I think half of all marriages fail within the first 5 years, whether Trump's in the White House or not. But Ms. Merrill had been married to her husband for 24 years. In any ordinary human relationship, imagine the trials and tribulations that come at a couple over the course of 24 years. I mean, I think about the things that the storms that Agnes and I have weathered over the years. And they have not been insubstantial. And we've been together 26. That was wood I was knocking. That too. So you've been through 24 years of marriage, and your husband going full on maggot is the last straw. Now, not to get all weepy or sentimental or anything, but that's just damn sad. But it is also the work of the goddess of irony. Because the same people who are driving others to marital and relationship agonies are the ones who years back were telling us that if a couple of guys got to pick out a China pattern or a couple of women did the same and then got married up, that that would destroy heterosexual marriage. How about that? Turns out it wasn't the gay folks at all. It was the maggots. Turns out it was the people who said that gays would destroy, gay marriage would destroy heterosexual marriage, who are actually destroying heterosexual marriage by virtue of their drop-dead devotion to a vulgar demigod. I mean, that's some high-quality irony right there. Yeah. But it's also Trump-tanic Tuesday, and so with the... With the SS Trump Tanic, garlanded with holly and festooned with wreaths, we run full flank steam, full speed ahead at that iceberg, because the maggots will sink an ocean liner to own the libs. And if you think I'm kidding, you're going to love this. Over at Alternet, Alex Henderson posted a piece of commentary referencing a journalist by the name of Christian Schneider, who wrote an article for a conservative website called The Bulwark. And Christian Schneider said that the Republican pathology has become so utterly weird that they are willing to trash the language to own the libs. I love that line. Own the libs. And it is culturally interesting too, because one of the things that Christian Schneider points out over at the Bulwark is the use of the term the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party. Yeah. And Schneider says, saying Democrat instead of Democratic has become a shibboleth, a verbal handshake to signal that you're on Team Red Hat. It's about as annoying as people rolling their R's when ordering a burrito to prove they once vacationed in Cozumel. But whatever. Triggering Democrats has become so important to Republicans, they're willing to assault the English language if the people who like good grammar are the bad guys. And Schneider goes on to note that saying Democrat Party instead of Democratic doesn't make any sense. Democrat's a noun, Democratic is an adjective, and one should not use one in place of the other. Adding, low-key shittiness is now a rite of passage for calling yourself a Republican, and with a tidal wave of nonsense coming from the right on a daily basis, it's impossible to correct the micro-idiocies. And so, here we are. Ooh, that's another good term. Micro-idiocies. What's interesting is, in his article, Mr. Schneider, oh, time out. Really warm today. I think things bloomed a little bit earlier. I mean, we got up to 71 degrees here. Perfect blue skies. It was fantastic. Christian Schneider, through all of this, never mentions Newt Gingrich. And maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe Christian Schneider is a millennial and didn't know that the whole business about saying Democrat Party instead of Democratic was originated with Newt Gingrich and his rules on language of the 90s. And it sure did stick. But he's right. I mean, it's getting a lot of use. It's getting a lot of mileage. But it has an origin story, and its origin story goes back to the philandering asshole, who at the same time he was excoriating Bill Clinton for an extramarital consensual affair, was banging away on his own intern like a cheap gong. And that adulterous, fornicatory intern is now our ambassador to the See of St. Peter in Rome. No shit. Every time I think about that, it just makes me want to head outside and eat dirt and run rabbits. But that's where they are. The maggots will make themselves sound even more ignorant than they already are if they think that it'll own the libs. And he in particular points to a guy named Josh Hawley, Hawley, who is the Republican who ousted Senator Claire McCaskill as a member of the Senate in the, was it the 2018? Yeah, I think so. Maybe 16. It all runs together after a while. And so this guy's running around saying Democrat Party, Josh Hawley is, and playing it up to the rubes that he's one of them. But wait for it, because there's always one of these. He went to an Ivy League school. Yeah. He knows better, just like John Kennedy of Louisiana, who was a freaking Rhodes Scholar at Oxford, and I don't mean the one in Mississippi, but stands there and all shucks and shit kicks it for the rubes down in Louisiana, Stan. Schneider, writing at the end of his Bulwark article, says, don't be surprised if Hawley's plan to cinch the 2024 Republican presidential nomination will be declaring that gerund phrases, dear God, gerunds, gerund phrases are tools of the deep state.
It's a conspiracy, Big Lee.
But that's who they are. And as Maya Angelou once wrote, when people tell you who they are, believe them. Then there's Paul Giupa, who's a professor of political science at Denison University, who's done an analysis of the evangelical maggots, you know, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian followers of Donald J. Trump. The J stands for Jesus. And what Professor Giupa wanted to look at was why it is that people who profess to have so much better morals than the rest of us will tolerate from Donald Trump what they would crucify anyone else for. And Professor Giupa came up with a rather surprising conclusion. It was over at the Washington Post. And he said, of those white evangelical Protestants, we found that 60% believed that atheists would not allow them First Amendment rights and liberties. More specifically, we asked whether they believed atheists would prevent them from being able to hold rallies, teach, speak freely, and run for public office. Similarly, 58% believed Democrats in Congress, scare quotes, would not allow them to exercise these liberties if they were in power. Now, that's just loopy. On the most basic of levels. Nobody's shutting down any churches, and nobody's out there hollering that we should shut down churches. Some of us who are deemed more radical than others think that maybe if churches want to play politics, churches should pay taxes. Because between corporations and tax-exempt churches, those two groups probably suck more of the commons out of our common weal than any other organizations. But nobody's trying to shut down the Baptists. Nobody's even hollered that they should be. I mean, if we didn't have Southern Baptists, how would we have that cloyingly delightful non-alcoholic sherbet ginger ale punch that is so yummy at Baptist weddings? Right? So where does it come from, this goofy notion? It's obviously not coming from the left. I know. What left? It's not coming from the left. I'm about 200% more radical than any of the lefties out there. When you start talking about things that would really, really make positive change in this country. And I'm not talking about shutting down the churches. So where are they getting the notion, these maggots, that Democrats want to shut down their gospel shops if the Democrats aren't the one who are saying it? If the Democrats aren't the ones introducing legislation, then where is this notion taking root? Or not taking root, where is it? From whence does it germinate? Now see, Eddie Crow, who is from this neck of the woods, where I am, just noted, without Southern Baptists, unbridled dancing would run amok. Precisely. And without Church of Christ, you wouldn't... nobody would ever sing a cappella off key again. But it's actually worth pondering this question of how it is that these evangelical maggots have it in their tiny, tiny, tiny BB-sized brains that they're not going to get to be religious zealots and maniacs anymore if Democrats have power. Well, guess what Professor Jupa found? The folks promulgating that hogwash are the usual suspects. This crap is flowing like a mighty sewer right out of Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and right out of the radio speakers of various and sundry white-wing radio talkers. Professor Jupa said, conservative Christians believe their rights are in peril partly because that's what they're hearing quite explicitly from conservative media, religious elites, partisan commentators, and some politicians, including the president. You may recall a couple of years ago, Nitwit Nero said that he was
giving the greatest religious freedom of any president who has ever been president. I'm going to get rid of the Johnson Amendment because I never wanted my Johnson amended, and I'll bet the Baptists don't either.
The Johnson Amendment, of course, was the rule that said that if you want to take tax-free money, you can't politic from the pulpit, which is not a terrible idea. If you want to pretend to be above the fray, you have to actually be above the fray. Of course, the right wing, white wing religion industry has ignored this for years. But that's the perfect definition, isn't it, of a feedback loop. White-wing Christians are afraid they're going to lose their religious freedom because white-wing Christians are afraid they're going to lose their religious freedom because white-wing media tells white-wing Christians that Democrats are going to take away their religious freedom. And so it just ramps. It's a spiral. A feedback loop is a spiral. Up, up, up. Long, burning blue to windswept heights. I swept with easy... No, that's high flight. Never mind. I chased the shouting winds along. Sunward I climbed. But that's who we're dealing with here. It is a delusion of the highest order. But we shouldn't be surprised that the maggots are delusional. They reserve their worship for a president who in his own right is hopelessly delusional. Here it is, Christmas Eve, for pity's sakes. And so, ordinarily, what a president does on Christmas Eve is to try to, you know, spread some cheer to the troops of the empire in far-flung foreign lands. And so while he's down there at that tacky pile of bricks that he calls home in South Florida, they tried to get him to do something a little presidential, his handlers and keepers did, you know, once they got the dosage right. And so he engaged in a teleconference with members of the military who were all over the planet doing the business of empire. And then, because there were reporters there to cover that thing, president calls troops, wishes Merry Christmas.
You know that you weren't allowed to say Merry Christmas until I got in the White House. Barack Obama made you all say Happy Kwanzaa or Aloha Snack Bar or whatever, because he was a Muslim.
I don't know that happened, but it's pretty damn close, because then he, you know, supposed to, ha ha ha, Merry Christmas, cheer, but, well, he can't be very cheerful because he's under impeachment. And Nancy Pelosi keeps owning him. He keeps moving his checkers around on the board while Nancy's sitting there saying, Queen to Queen's level 3. And so he went on a toddler's tirade this afternoon.
She hates the Republican Party. She hates all the people who voted for me and the Republican Party. She's doing a tremendous disservice to the country. She's going to lose her speakership. They got no evidence at all on me. I didn't get any due process in the House. I mean, they invited me to participate, but I chose not to, so it's kind of on me. But don't smarten up the chumps.
And then he started talking about the potential Senate trial.
They didn't give us a lawyer. They didn't give us anything.
I'm Adam
now
Smith.
I am the chief technology officer.
Yeah, wait a minute. This is confusing. Let's try this again.
She's doing a tremendous disservice to the country. She's not doing a good job. And some people think that she doesn't know what she's doing. A lot of people think that. A lot of people have said it. They had no evidence at all. They had no crime. We had 100.
Bear in mind, remember, any time that Tangerine Tiberius says a lot of people have said it,
she doesn't know what she's doing. A lot of people have said it.
What that translates as is, I've never heard a human being say that in my life, but I'm going to say it because actually, I don't know what I'm doing.
Rosebud.
196 or so Republicans voting 100%. We didn't lose one Republican vote in the House.
Yeah, except for the one Republican you lost from the entire party, Justin Amash, who then went on and voted for the impeachment, but... Well, don't anybody tell Nitwit Nero.
We had 3 Democrats come over to our side, and 2 in another instance, 2 in an addition.
No, you had 2 plus, you know, Tulsi. And using Democrat in the same sentence as Tulsi in any sentence except Tulsi is not a Democrat is an absurd act.
original instance, and we're in a very good position. Ultimately, that decision is going to be made by Mitch McConnell, and he will make it. You know, he has the right to do whatever he wants. He's the head of the Senate. People remember they treated us very unfairly. They didn't give us due process. They didn't give us.
You bastard. The due process you get is the process you do.
As a lawyer, they didn't give us anything. Now they come to the Senate and they want everything. You look back just 2 weeks, just look back at what they did. But over a long period of time, look at what they did. We weren't entitled to witnesses. We weren't entitled to lawyers. We sat in a basement. They would leak everything.
We sat in a basement. Nights we used to tend bar.
They would leak it. We weren't entitled to do anything. They would leak selectively with a sick, corrupt politician named Schiff. He's a corrupt politician. No, they treated us worse than anybody's been treated from a legal standpoint in the history of the United States. It's never
Treated worse from a legal standpoint than anybody else in the history of the United States. Somebody explain, because previously he said, I've been treated worse than any other president in the history of the United States. And everybody said, oh, fuckwit, JFK, Garfield, Abraham Lincoln, FDR had polio. So somebody tightened him up on that. So now it's, hey, we've been treated worse from a legal standpoint. You know, when you finally get there, when you're down in hell there, Donnie, you might want to take that up with Richard Nixon.
Happened before, where you can't have a lawyer, you can't have a witness, you can't have time. You didn't have, even recently when they had the constitutional lawyers, they got three lawyers, we got one. Fortunately, our one lawyer was better than their three.
That's got to be that's got to just make Jonathan Turley's effing day. Donald Trump mobbed up all to hell says Jonathan Turley is his kind. His kind of constitutional lawyer.
And we also had a much better case. We have a perfect case. I say it again.
Yeah, it's perfect, like the phone call was perfect.
But they had three lawyers. We were allowed one. They had three. Think of that. They had three lawyers, constitutional lawyers, and each one spoke for an extended period of time. We had one lawyer. What do you think of that?
So, you know, what I think of that is that that's usually how it works. The minority gets a witness, because, like, we saw that happen a lot back when the Republicans were in the majority in the House. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know they're professionals and everything, but the photographers and the reporters and the people, the technicians who are on the booms there and dangle the microphones out there so that they can catch every pearl of wisdom emanating from the festering gob of this septuagenarian toddler. Do you suppose that any of those folks, upon walking out of the room, just shake their heads and look at each other and go, what the actual fuck, man? Dude, what the fuck? I don't know. Is he wasted? Is he nuts? Dude, I don't know, man. I always feel like I'm the crazy one when I walk out of there, like it's rubbing off on me or something.
Yeah, Timothy in the video chat over at Facebook,
the most perfect that was ever perfect.
I know we've said it before, we'll wind up saying it more. But if this was anybody else in the United States of America, assuming they had access to health care,
they would have long since had an appointment with a neurologist. And the neurologist would have put any other person behaving like this through that battery that involves questions like, what color was George Washington's white horse, and who's buried in Lee's tomb, and who played the Cisco Kid? But not this guy. Our constitutional flaws leave us at the mercy of a moron. 330+ million human beings in this country. And all of our lives, all of our futures dangle from the drool-like thread of this guy's existence. Is it just me, or do you find that monumentally terrifying, too?
Now they get to the Senate, and now we have the majority, and it's up to Mitch McConnell. And we have the majority, and now they want McConnell to do wonderful things for them. I mean, he's going to do what he wants to do. Very smart guy, very good guy, and a very fair guy.
Very corrupt guy. A guy with a very lot of money from the National Ruble Association in his account. He's a very oligarched up guy, seeing how he's did that deal for an aluminum plant in Kentucky, Stan, that just that a Russian oligarch, out of the goodness of his heart and out of the blue, decided to put in Kentucky. Never mind the fact that it would have made a hell of a lot more sense to put it somewhere else. The check cleared.
But they treated us very unfairly, and now they want fairness in the Senate. They ought to look back at the last year to see how they've hurt this country. Fortunately, we have a president that was able to plow through all of the stuff that went.
We have a president. Who is that? Is that President Giuliani? Is that President Pence? I'm telling you, if he sat down at that neurological exam, the next thing that would happen thereafter would be somebody picking up the phone and calling that, 1-800-HOME-FOR-DAD. "877-DAD'S-FLOWN-THE-COOP." But not him. We get to just watch him drag America down with him. Jesus. Oh, and I didn't report this story earlier just because it was damn sickening. But there's a development in it that now sort of compels me. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. Daddy, please dominoes you. Mama, please dominoes. It's the story of Nicole Marie Poole Franklin. Now, I've seen a photo. She looks pretty much kind of normally white lady American. But the thing is, back on December the 9th, a 14-year-old girl named Natalia Miranda was near her middle school on the sidewalk, coming on toward dark, probably already dark. And Nicole Marie Poole Franklin, all of 42 years old, ran little Natalia Miranda over. She flat ran over her. She's since been charged with second-degree attempted murder. and Natalia Miranda had serious injuries. And Franklin fled the scene, and they caught up with her to the down to the Conoco station, where she told the police that she ran over the little girl because she was Mexican. That just feels like a kick in the gut to you, because it does to me. Because she was Mexican. Well, the recent development in the case is that it turns out she'd run over a little African-American boy shortly before she ran over the little Mexican girl. Yeah. 12-year-old little boy. Witnesses saw it happen and said that she accelerated before she hit the little boy. He had minor injuries. And so the cops are now treating it as a hate crime. And when the cops caught up with her and arrested her at the Conoco station, she was on a stealing spree and running around the store calling customers and employees there racial and ethnic slurs. Police Chief Michael Venema said Franklin told investigators that she ran the girl over because she was, in her words, a Mexican. She went on to make a number of derogatory statements about Latinos to the investigators. And the police chief went on to say, "I want to say in the strongest possible terms that there is no place in our community or any other for this type of hatred and violence. We're committed to stand by and support this family and work diligently with them to seek justice." Good. That's nice. Meanwhile, little Natalia Miranda said, "I was in the hospital and I tried moving and I couldn't get out of my bed. Sitting up was the worst pain I've ever felt." And yes, Franklin will probably face a felony hate crime charge. This is the point where we recall that there are still states that don't have hate crimes legislation, and that generally speaking, Republicans have inveighed and cried vast seas of crocodile tears saying, "You're criminalizing thought with them hate crime laws." For all I know, the very state I'm in right now may not have one. But now the denouement to all of this. If you're already familiar with the story, you probably already know where the story takes place. No, not Alabama, not West Virginia, not Texas. The story happened in Iowa. You know, Iowa. That state where all the presidential candidates are scurrying and running around and trying to find those unicorns, you know, those undecided voters. In a largely Republican state, vast amounts of wealth are being transferred $2 and $3 and $4 at a time into the campaign into the campaign vaults of the candidates, who are then giving that money to corporations that hate your guts, hate my guts, hate their candidates' guts, hate liberals' guts, Democrats' guts, progressives' guts. And it eventually finds its way up the slope of the pyramid to the heads of these media companies who, let me reiterate, hate your guts. And who employ people on air and in print who talk about that Obama voter, that white Obama voter who then voted for Trump because Hillary. I Well, hello, Nicole Marie Poole Franklin. Yeah, I bet she just she was just suffering from political overload. She's tired of hearing about all these Mexicans and blacks, and she's tired of hearing about white privilege, and she's proud to be white. Damn it. You know, being proud to be white's like being proud of being blue-eyed, or being proud of having size 13 feet. You had no you had no choice in the matter. You had no influence over it. I'm trying to remember it. Kurt Vonnegut came up with a term for that ridiculousness. And it was part of the title of his essay collection called Wompeters, Foma, and Granfaloons. Is being proud of something that there's no reason to take pride in, is that a Foma or a Granfaloon? Somebody in the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department can look into that. Iowa, though, you know, the heartland, the overlooked part of America that cost Hillary the election. Bullshit. And in short order, somebody, there'll be another article that says, you know, she's mentally ill. Yeah, okay, sure. Why the hell not? Oh, let me check in here for a second. No, Steve, in the Skype chat, it's not about the cat. We can't go there again tonight. That's just too much. I'm waiting to get connected to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. I got a hang on from Sparky. I love dead air, don't you? But this is the curse of producing and talking at the same time. You know, I don't know why we don't add in a little bit of juggling and some spinning plates on sticks and maybe a unicycle and you know, chewing some bubble gum while trying to whistle the battle hymn of the Republic. There's a lot goes on in this program for one human being. Working. Ah, here we go. There we go. All right. We are now happily connected to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. John, seriously, says Darlene in Connecticut, John Kennedy is as in the one from Louisiana as a Rhodes Scholar. Yes, he is. He always struck me as being as dumb as a box of rocks. I lost all respect for whatever vetting process is employed to determine who should get a Rhodes Scholarship. Oh yeah, he was law review at UVA, probably Phi Beta Kappa at Vandy, and he puts on that all shook shit kicker game for the chumps. And by the way, we are still at $285 to go on fundraising for the evening, as we enter the second hour of the program. Hopefully, we'll come up even on that. Flavio says, I read in the Des Moines Register before she'd run over the little Mexican girl, she'd smoked some meth. Well, you know, sure. Why not? And meth is, well, it's not strictly coinky-dinky that meth and maggot begin with the same letter. Okay, so if you want to help out on fundraising, it's over at headon.live, the contribute tab, or you know, there's Venmo, and if you'd like to become a Patreon subscriber, that's cool too. But let's check in with Sparky on that aforementioned gray day. Hey, Sparky, what's up, man?
Working on dead fence.
Dead fence?
Well,
are you trying to re-electrify it?
No. It's a dead fence because it ain't fencing no more.
Oh, okay. It's no longer serving its essential duty of being a fence.
Correct.
It's more hole than fence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cutting it up for firewood.
Oh, so you're not fixing it?
No. I'm giving it a decent burial, cremation.
Very good.
Like I had to do my flag the other day.
Oh, you had a flag that reached the end of its life?
Well, it was on the end of the man cave on a piece of half-inch conduit. And it lasted through storm after storm. And finally gave up the ghost and bent over. And it was getting pretty tattered anyway.
Well, then you are supposed to burn it.
Yeah.
So it's all gray. Is it all gray and miserable out there, or just gray?
Gray, kind of coldish on the cold side. But at least it's not raining. We had sun yesterday. Beautiful day.
Well, the sun must have gotten here today because it was exquisite. I mean, hardly a cloud in the sky. Blue sky. And 71 degrees. Even now, it's 65.
Well, I have a heater running every so often in here.
And we are looking. We're looking at. You know, for this, and even for this area, this kind of weather is weird. We're looking for getting out of 2019 under sunny skies and mid-50s here next week. So,
again. Well, there was a rumor going around that it might snow here on Christmas, and I just thought, oh, no, it won't snow here. Never does. Sleets once in a while, but that's about it.
Yeah, because that ice is so much fun.
It doesn't last very long when it does it.
No.
And we had thunder snow a few years ago. That was fun. Well, I was working on the new shaft of college here.
Well, my primary concern is that there be... I'm all tornadoed out.
Yeah, but that area is famous for tornadoes, isn't it?
Not in December.
No, right, yeah. It's just like, we don't have fires in December anymore, yet.
Yet, right. So, are you doing a tri-tip tomorrow?
No. Neighbor's cooking something up. Judy's going to go over there and she's going to bring a plate home for me because I don't want to sit around with a bunch of hands.
Ah, yes. Well, hang out in the man cave. You and Grady.
Oh, we watch sports. Something's got to be on.
Well, I got all excited since I've been down here because one of the grocery stores I was in, I just, you know how much I love that Kaneka sausage.
Oh, you found it, huh?
No, I found something else. I found Kaneka brand bacon. And today I made myself a bacon, lettuce, tomato, and avocado sandwich on that wonderful sourdough I'm getting. And it, I mean, my God, it had the density of uranium-238. I ate it at about 10. I think I might be hungry sometime 3 days from now. I understand why anacondas only eat once a month now. They're eating bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches.
Yeah, it takes a long time for a snake to digest its prey. We used to have a boa constrictor, a 26-foot long one in Thailand on the base right outside the building I worked in a place called Grant's Grove, and they served beer and stuff there. And they had a monkey cage there, and they feed the snake chickens, live chickens.
Oh, that must have been a joy.
So there was a pool going around. They may have a pool going when the snake would eat the chicken, because he wouldn't eat unless he was hungry. So the chicken would just sit there and wander around the cage for days, practically. And then you come by one day, chicken's gone. You see a lump in the python.
Makes me wonder if maybe Roger ever ate python in Guam. I think that's become that could be a Jeopardy category. Things Roger ate in Guam.
I didn't think they had a lot of snakes in Guam back then.
Well, I don't know, but he ate fruit bat and coconut crab, so you know, it's a start. And of course, guinea pig in Peru on a stick. I can't wait till they get those at the Iowa State Fair.
And well, in Thailand, the big thing is dog on a stick.
Ew. Pass, thanks.
I had to go there, didn't I?
Yeah, well, you know, I've over the years, I've just learned. Oh, and hey, good news! Thank you very kindly to our buddy Tony. Thank you very kindly for jumping in alongside Anatole. We are now down to 265, and Paul just took us down to 255. So we're making some progress. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. And tomorrow doesn't count because tomorrow's just a day off. So we'll pick it back up on Thursday. Who else is in the room, Sparky?
Wait a minute, I can't see. Thought Steve was here. And Rick.
Oh, yeah, there's Steve. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Brother Bob?
I don't know. You are, man.
Where are you at demographically again? Or
Geographically?
You're on the road. Yeah. You're on the road, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm in Alabama.
The crud's going around everywhere, man. Hope you don't catch that shit.
I know two people that have had it already, but I had my flu shot, so I'm hoping it's going to provide me some degree of immunity.
I don't wish it on anybody. Karen had to go get a steroid shot yesterday. I feel like ass, but that's okay. It's Christmas.
Wait, you just said I feel like ass? Was that what you said? Oh, I tell you what, you can't. You know, there are programs out there, but this has got to be the classiest radio program. the classiest live progressive radio program on Christmas Eve. Here, let me introduce Steve from Georgia Stan. He feels like ass.
Ass.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, and we lost power. Of course, it always happens. Mystery. We have one of those mystery outages that you're so familiar with, Bob. Sunday night. Went out Sunday night. Didn't get back till midday Monday. No reason for it. I mean, wasn't breezing. No storm. No anything. We just want to fuck with you and knock your power out. So enjoy.
Hey, we made it through that nasty tornado business. And I think it dimmed a little bit, didn't even blink.
Sometimes you get lucky, you know, and then other times you get these mystery outages that last for days and there's no excuse for it.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do, man? At least we're on this side of the dirt, right?
Every day above the ground's a good one.
Yeah, I don't feel very well. Who else we got out there? Let's bring them on, man.
Yeah, Billable Rick's there. I guess he's and he's getting yeah. his, moving toward having his game face on for the big game on the 27th.
Absolutely. How's everybody doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Rick. It's not about the cat.
No, it's not about the cats. No, it's definitely not.
Speaking of cat, did you see the Lindsey Graham story?
No, please enlighten.
Lindsey Graham is terribly, terribly upset with that horrible, horrible woman, Nancy Pelosi.
Oh.
Yes. Because
that harlot?
That vixen. Okay. And he threw a tantrum yesterday. And he said, no, it was Sunday when Lindsey left the fainting couch down at the ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode, chewed up a couple of Darvons for the refreshing burst of flavor, chased it with a powerful Shirley Temple, and headed into the TV studio where he went on Fox News on Sunday. And they had Maria Bartiromo interviewed him, and he said, "Impeachment is a dead cat. Stop playing with it. Bury it. It's going nowhere. Quit violating the Constitution and give the president his day in court. And let's get this behind us so we can talk about things people really care about. And I can start working on my ball gown for Ashley's barbecue down to 12 Oaks.
And give the cat a decent burial."
Dead cat.
Oh, geez. Dead rat. Dead cat. It's an old Jim Morrison song, Doors.
Yeah, but I think he was trying to be just a little bit clever.
Yeah, too clever by half.
I think that was a sort of a sexist meow over toward Nancy Pelosi, you know, cat.
Well, he's the one who would know that because he's very catty. Right?
He is that.
Well, poor Lindsey, I tell you. Oh, geez.
Well, it's just going from bad to worse for him. Because, I predicted yesterday. Jesus Christ, I'm stuck in this fucking accent.
Please, keep it up, Bob.
Yeah. I predicted yesterday that when the Democrats filed what they filed, with the D.C. Circuit Court saying that they still needed Don McGahn's testimony because they might have to impeach Donald Trump some more. Well, that went through Precious Lindsey like a dose of damn salts. I mean, like the proverbial shit through a goose. Because, it's a legitimate argument. We need Don McGahn's testimony because there might be more evidence come out of Don McGahn that would make us note that we probably need to reopen impeachment proceedings and impeach him some more. And this just, they had to wave a bottle of rot gut whiskey under Lindsey's nose to get him back to consciousness because he got the vapors something fierce. And he said, "Democrats are treating impeachment as an open bar tab. Time to cut them off, take the car keys away, and end this insanity." because, you know, trying to find out if the president of the United States is an ongoing threat to national security and clear and present danger to the endurance and well-being of the republic, that's just insanity. We should let Donald Trump burn this country right down to the fucking ground because MAGA and Nancy Pelosi just keeps owning them and owning them and owning them. And there's not a blessed thing they can do about it. It's a dead cat, I'm telling you. A dead cat. Yeah. Am I the only one here? Oh, wait, I was... Yes, I wasn't the only one there, but now I'm... Y'all there?
Yeah, Bob. We're here. Me, you, and Lindsay, we're all here.
Yeah.
And we're trying...
Let's go party there.
And we're desperately trying to fend off a crippling case of the fantods.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, Steve.
Hey, calling from Ottawa, so...
Well, you sound like you're just across the street.
Merry Christmas from the Great White North, or to the Great White North.
Merry Christmas, Brother Steve.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you. It's not that cold up here, so...
Shit, it's not cold here, man. You could have... In fact, I went walking in shorts today and a T-shirt.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's in the mid-20s here, but...
Yeah, I went out to the grocery store today, and I actually wore jeans, and I should have worn shorts.
Yep. Mr. Kincaid, Cletus just sent you something.
Oh, bless your little old heart, Cletus. Did Cletus go dig up a bone in the yard?
She got you a bone.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's one of them big beefy cow bones, too, because that just done took us down to 245.
Lovely. I got to stop this
or it'll stick.
Because pretty soon, Bob, you're not going to be able to get out. It's right. One of those things. Once you
like an eye twitch, we'll just have it permanent.
Oh, I know. If I decide to go to the local Roman Catholic Gospel shop tonight for midnight mass, I'll walk in there and get mercy sakes. No, we got to stop this right fucking now.
Yeah, I was going to go to mass tonight. I'm not going to go. It's been the first time in years I haven't been.
Well, you know, I don't know the lodge sign and the secret handshake and all of that. So, you know,
the ups and downs, the kneeling.
Yeah,
it's fun. Everybody there is hammered, so nobody else knows either. So,
but I mean, if I don't, it's kind of like taking LSD without a guide. You know, you don't want to go to a Roman Catholic high mass without a guide. No, stand up, asshole.
You need a shaman, man. Where's my shaman?
I have a question. You guys were talking about that. I've been out of the news today. Did it get turned up to 13?
Oh, no, he just lost his shit today after he called the troops and he wished them happy Christmas there in Afghaniran or where the fuck you are. Then he had a tantrum with the reporters after. They didn't give me any due process.
Afghaniran. He's killing me.
I can hear him. Afghanistan. Is that where Afghan, those quilts that my grandma had on the back of her couch come from?
No, that's an African. You mean those knitted things?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an African.
Oh, my God. Oh. Well, I had read that they're actually, and maybe you guys talked about this, that they're actually going to use the "he has not been impeached" argument.
Oh, yeah.
And did you? I don't know if you saw this, Bob, but one of the three professors that testified in the Judiciary Committee's first hearing actually came out and said that he is not impeached until they send him to the Senate.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
So you're not indicted until so it's not an indictment until you get the defendant in front of you?
Yeah, until there's a trial.
Yeah, right.
That's what they're saying, which is absurd.
Yeah, yeah, I mean that's going to come as a shock to anybody who's ever been indicted. Because, right. You know, unless you're sitting there in the courtroom, you get indicted and they, you know, if you're an asshole, they'll put out a capias. Otherwise, they just, you know, issue a notice and say, you know, come on in, you've been indicted. Well, no, I haven't received it, so I'm not indicted, man. That doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, well,
arrest your ass in your underwear at 6 a.m. if you play that game.
Right, right. You know what I think she's doing? Is I think what, and maybe this is super obvious. I think what she's doing is she's making Nitwit Nero and McConnell play off each other, because clearly McConnell does not want a trial. And he's told Trump, you don't want a trial. Just let this go. Let us have our little sham in here in the Senate. You know, and Trump is constantly telling him, and it's going public, and there's this public feud. I want witnesses. There shouldn't be a trial. And what's going to end up happening is, or what I suspect will happen is, the Trumpanzees are going to get all their, you know, get their vapors on and uproar, whatever the saying is, insist on a trial like their Fuhrer wants, and then that thing will go for weeks.
Hold on here, because what happens if you know, they want to turn it into a circus, Steve, and I don't know the answer to this. What happens if, say, Chinless Mitch, Moscow Mitch, decides to issue us a Senate subpoena for Hunter Biden? What happens if Hunter Biden looks at him and says, you know what, hey Mitch, you know what you need to do? You need to take that subpoena and fuck yourself with it, Moscow Mitch. I'm not going to answer it until the Supreme Court tells me I have to. I'm going to do to you what Trump has done to everybody else. We'll just litigate this all the way to the Supreme Court. See you over at the Federal District Court. I guess this trial's going to go on for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind that. I just want to see him. I literally want to see him. I mean, I don't want to literally see it, but I want to read stories about people taking YouTube videos of him, you know, running around the White House lawn in a diaper, wearing having his face painted.
Here's what I want, Steve. I want to see him show up to testify in the Senate trial because he insisted on it, and then I want to watch him go all Captain Queeg.
Yeah, I'll take that too.
Or Colonel What's His Fuck from A Few Good Men.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson, yeah.
Yeah, just completely melt Jessup. The hell down.
Colonel Jessup.
Yeah.
I want to see him stew in his orange juices.
Ew. I was planning on eating after this program, but thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I want to see him walk away thinking how much he nailed it. I nailed it.
Yeah. I don't think it's a problem to ask this. Do you really think that he could stand up under the pressure of testimony? Don't you think he would crack like an overripe melon?
I mean,
wouldn't he be at risk of a stroke?
And this is bad, Al.
Well, I'm not commenting on it as to good or bad, but if you were a physician, would you ever let him know? Oh, by the way, Flavio with a note, going back to Steve saying he felt like ass. Flavio says, in Argentine Spanish, you'll often hear a dialogue like this. How's life been treating you? Like my anus. So that was funny when Steve from Georgistan said, I feel like ass.
He never did get a cowbell for that, Bob.
I did. I just cowbelled.
Oh, okay. It's not that important, but back to orange, this orange monster. Yeah, nothing would make me happier than to see him frog march into jail, and I'm sure we all concur on that, you know.
Wouldn't he be Peppy the Frog March?
Hey, Scott, what's going on, man?
Hey, Scott.
I had forgotten that there was a front porch today, so I fired up the old Skype machine on the phone. The thing about him not being officially impeached until the House people deliver the bill of impeachment or whatever the fuck the document's called, but physically to the Senate, is this is, you know, let's use one unreality to explain another unreality. In your theology, if you're a Christian, a Bible-believing fundamentalist, you know, lock the doors at 11 and don't let black folks in on Sunday morning at 11 type of fundamentalist. You believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin in a manger. They brought him gifts from afar. The only thing you hear from birth till his public life is when he was like 13 or something, he mouthed off to the elders in the temple. Okay. You don't hear another fucking word until he's 33 or whatever, or 30. 33 and a third, whatever the fuck he was. He goes around healing people, feeding people, saying kind, loving things that we should all do. Okay. The religious authorities and the civil authorities of the day get honked off at him because he's cutting into their action in terms of followers. So on trumped up charges, they take him before the magistrate, who washes his hands of the whole affair. He's handed over to the religious authorities, who decide, well, he'd look good on a cross, okay? But that's not enough. They got to beat the fluorescent piss.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
There's so many double entendres.
He'd look good on a cross.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going somewhere.
Hey, Jesus, your nails look great.
You're on a roll, bro.
Who did your nails?
Jesus uses Sally Hansen's hardest nails. Or Lee Press-On nails or whatever.
No, that's Sally Hansen hard ass nails.
Oh, and there you go.
And Scott pulled the mask tonight, aren't you, bro?
You're going to hell, man. You just blew it. You're going to hell, buddy. That's where all the rogues are anyway. You'll have more fun there, Scotty.
Let me not get lost in my explanation. So we're all the way up to he's hanging up there. Okay, he dies, suffers and dies. Well, not only, you know, they beat the hell out of him, put the thorny crown on him, hang him on up there, you know, oh, Lord, forgive them, they know not what they do, and he what? Gives up the ghost. Okay, so Jesus has suffered and died for the remission of sins, if you're a fundamentalist. But that's not enough. For most people, that would be adequate for the remission of sins. But no. He must go the extra mile, if you will.
Purgatory route.
No, Jesus must rise again, thereby freaking the hell out of the two Roman guards at the tomb that was borrowed, okay? Only until he rises again, descends into hell, raises into heaven, lets Thomas the Doubter, put your finger in there, Thomas. Okay.
Hey, kid, pull my finger.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, the analogy is, the comparison is.
If I wasn't real, could I clear a room with one of those?
This impeachment is not real until thus and so happens. And the remission of sins for fundamentalists is not true unless all of that happens. It's bullshit.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, Darlene wants to let Steve in New York know, Steve in Ottawa know, he's right. It was Noah Feldman, the professor from Harvard Law School, that said Trump's not impeached. I was stunned, quite frankly, Darlene says, as he gave compelling testimony in support of Trump's impeachment. I don't agree with Feldman, obviously.
Yeah,
Hey, Scott, after all that, the only thing I could picture now is Jesus sitting, soaking his hands in palm olive.
Well, you know why he doesn't eat M&M's, right?
What was that, Bob?
I said, you know why he doesn't eat M&M's, right?
I don't know.
They fall through the holes in his hands.
Good one.
I knew it was the M&M joke.
Yeah, it kind of. Honestly, Mom. And then Jesus says, honestly, Mom, sometimes you really piss me off.
So going back to Precious Lindsay, did Maria Bartolomeo or whatever her name is, did she play the clip of what Lindsay had to say during the Clinton impeachment?
Oh, no, they wouldn't do that to him over on Fox.
Oh, no. You can't remember any of that stuff.
No, that just wouldn't be nice.
Oh, Stephanie Miller wants to motorboat her, so I kind of like that visual. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, what? You said Stephanie Miller, and I thought Stephanie Rule, and I was, what, sweet, sweet little derivative selling Stephanie Rule over on MSNBC wants to motorboat Maria Bartiromo? Okay, I have to confess that video does really add another component to the program. And now the world can see me do that. I heard Tracy a minute ago.
Where's my
sorry,
buddy,
I didn't
Tracy?
Mean to.
Oh no,
I didn't mean
funny.
To knock anybody out of line, but I just had to throw that in.
I think Tracy's in the middle of swimming laps. Maybe she can like pop up and just say a couple of words in between laps, Bob.
Oh, okay. I saw her over
in the room.
I saw her over in the video chat too. See, yeah, because she said, "Why does your shirt look like prison orange?" I guess because of the color balance or something, or the lighting in the room. I promise you, this is red, 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 red. I mean, it's Pompeian red. To go with, you know, my green pants.
But Bob, is it scarlet blood of Jesus red?
As a matter of fact, it is.
Well, there you go. You know what gets me about these, not only these Republican voters, but the politicians.
Fairy tales, man.
The excuses and explanations that Trump and his enablers have given change the scenario. You're a young parent. You're in your late 30s or whatever. You've got a couple of teenaged kids, and you've told them repeatedly not to do thus and so, or to do thus and so. And they either do or don't do what you've asked them to or not to do. And they're standing in front of you all sheepish and stuff, giving you some lame-ass excuse. Well, you know, it's the same dynamic. If a child gave you the same type of endless explanations as to why grandmother's precious European vase got broken, all of them were bogus, you wouldn't spend a minute contemplating, well, this could be true, you know?
No. And hey, good job there bringing the word vase into the conversation.
Why, thank you.
Because
something suddenly came up.
Because Chlamydia Claudius says that instead of a missile launch, maybe he's sending a nice vase.
Oh, God.
No, that actually happened. Oh, and hey, Ron and Raleigh said T-shirt and shorts. I hate to tell you that just because a white guy's wearing T-shirts and shorts doesn't necessarily mean it's warm. Any temp above 32 degrees is T-shirt and shorts weather for the melanin challenged. There's an element of truth to that.
Well, I don't know. They're going to have to rewrite the song. We're out here having fun in the warm California sun. It's been colder than a witch's upper frontal for the past couple of days, and rainier than hell. I can't deal with this. I don't do this type of weather.
Can we get a violin out?
Join the club. Quit your wires. Well, power outages.
Oh, and hey, let me. I just realized we got somebody on the stress line. Let's bring them on. Hey, welcome to the program. Yo, hello.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you. Who is it?
This is Kevin in Colorado.
Oh, hey, Kevin. Hey, Kevin. Yeah, welcome aboard, man.
53 degrees here today, and it's supposed to be about that warm tomorrow on Christmas, which is great for Colorado Springs this time of year.
And interestingly, where before the Bluetooth calls were not coming in on both channels, you're coming in on both channels now. That's just tech talk, but I'm tickled because It means that people aren't adjusting their balance going, what the hell happened to my right speaker?
Well, I was busy listening to Scott's Theology 101. That was great, Scott. short primer
Thank
on
you.
Christian
Thank you.
Theology. I did want to say, you talked about Trump and testimony. I think he would do okay giving testimony, but the minute cross-exam began, it would be all over.
Yeah, which is what happens with Colonel Jessup and Captain Queeg.
Yep. And I'm interested to see what will happen if they ever get to a trial in the Senate. What happens with Cory Gardner? Because he's up for election here, and things aren't looking real good for him as it is. So I'm interested to see how he will respond to a trial or a potential trial.
Well, right at this point in time, they seem to have him remollified that Mitch is going to run the cover up for him and everything's going to be groovy.
The way things are going, like you said, Pelosi is playing three-dimensional chess while the Republicans are playing checkers. And I think before it's all over, we're going to have a Senate trial with witnesses. And if we don't, he's just going to have those bills of impeachment sitting there ready to go again. You know, I don't see Pelosi and the Democrats losing on this one.
Well, considering that Fox's own poll has the American people at 54% wanting him impeached, I think it's not a good number for Nitwit Nero.
And I think that's a really good point. The senators on the hot seat, I think they're going to be forced to vote for witnesses. And they only need a simple majority for that. And I think you're absolutely right on that.
Well, the calculus there, Chris, is that you've got to get Kyrsten Sinema to come along. You've got to get, you know, one of those ostensible Democrats. You've got to get Joe Manchin to come along. You got to get Doug Jones of Alabama to come along, and he's vulnerable in 2020. And
I think Susan Collins will.
Do you really?
I think she will, and I think Murkowski will too. I do.
Okay, so that's two.
Both and of them have let me down so many times. I don't hold out any hope for those two. Whatsoever.
Susan Collins, moderate from Maine.
Yes, Susan Collins.
I forgot to swallow my razor blades this morning.
Susan Collins, who is terribly disappointed in this whole process, but she will, she would be interested to hear what the witnesses have to say if she wasn't going to vote against having witnesses, because she always ends up voting for whatever it is that Donald Trump wants.
That is true, but I think she may have to go out of her way for this one. And don't forget about Bishop Willard too.
Romney.
See, the brilliance of the scenario and the situation is it's going to be, you can have this. It's like, again, with you dealing with Republicans, you're dealing like dealing with children. No insult against small children, but you can either have this, or you can have that. Either you behave appropriately as the Senate phase of the impeachment program goes on, or some months hence, you Republicans who are up in November of 2020, plus the rest of you Jaspers, will have to have it taken out of your paycheck.
You know, for a minute there, I thought you were going to say Jagoffs.
Well,
I was going to say, I had no idea you were from Pittsburgh.
It was on the tip of his tongue.
It was either Jackoffs, Jaspers, or Jazzbos. And I know one of those I think is offensive. So I
hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott, stop insulting my cat Jasper, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. And isn't that one of the primary elements, construction elements of heaven itself? Aren't there like lampposts?
Yeah, Jasper, feldspar, and soapstone.
The fire hydrants or something up there.
Scott, when you said you can have this or you can have that, I immediately thought of that Fat Boy Slim tune. You can have this or you can have that. Walk without rhythm so you won't attract the worms. Which makes sense, too.
Well, yeah.
Well, is it just me or is it Susan Collins? Does it seem like that old gal's been beat in the head with a hammer one too many times?
Only once?
Oh,
only
you brought only, the only you, you brought the A-game tonight, Steve.
I've got a quick question. You remember the shape that the Democratic Congress was in the late 70s? And beyond the late 70s, back when they retook the Congress, that would have been what, 94? There were some scandals. I remember the House Post Office or the House Bank or something. And there were a bunch of other things, like one of the head Democratic Congress people had the royalties on his book had some stink attached to them. And plus the length of time that the Democrats had been in charge of the House of Representatives, don't you see the Republicans kind of getting to that point where the more discerning of the electorate out here in the real fucking world, which is an ever-growing district, okay, or a series of districts, isn't it getting to the point where we pretty much had our fill with their bullshit? Aren't they ready to be grounded in a semi-permanent way?
Yeah, it would be nice.
I don't know. I just
threw that
in. I
hope you're right, Scott.
I would like to give people in our country who vote, who have, you know, a couple of brain cells to bang together, credit. But we have a great capacity for blowing it, you know? And we simply can't blow it this time.
One would hope not.
Time's running out.
Oh, hey, I got a blast from the past. Remember last year when Venerial Vespasian took the call from the 7-year-old at the NORAD Center, the NORAD Santa Tracking Center. You remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
There is no Santa Claus.
I got the, no, I got 7 years old, right? I've got the audio here.
All right.
Hold on. Yeah, they did it. They did it from some. They did it from the White House. God. I'm going to crank the audio up on this, so everybody be quiet, okay?
Well, that's good. You just have a good time. Are you still a believer in Santa? Because at 7 it's marginal, right?
Are you still a believer in Santa? Because at 7 it's marginal, right? Yeah, he fucked up Christmas for a whole bunch of children, because it's who he is. Well, this year they didn't let him go to NORAD. They didn't let him take calls for NORAD Santa Tracker. Melanoma just did it by herself. NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith reported, in the past years, the press pool has been in the room as the president and first lady answered a few calls into the NORAD Santa Tracker hotline. This year, the press secretary just sent a statement, and Melanoma did it by herself with no input from her chubby hubby. Yes, you're going to find out where is Santa? Ah, Santa Claus is in Lower Slobovia. He's good in Lower Slobovia. Good little children in Lower Slobovia get to eat food sometime next month. That's my melanoma impression. I should probably be ashamed.
On Red Square.
You want to do that again? I had you muted.
No, this just in, it appears that Santa has landed on Red Square.
On top of Putti's hair, dude. Yeah.
Santa is now headed for Gulag.
Remember, kids, Lenin's tomb is a communist plot.
Do they still have that up at Red Square? Lenin's tomb and all that shit?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, he's still there.
You can probably buy T-shirts and commemorative plates and God knows what else.
Kind of a different sort of government now. It's communist. This is now fascist, although not a whole lot of difference.
Only in the sense that the government, so-called, has given up all hope of control and letting it be every person for him or herself.
Mm.
You know, if you thought it was bad...
If you thought what?
If you thought it was bad under Soviet rule, since the fall of communism, it's probably gotten measurably worse.
It probably has. Probably less free. Yeah.
You know, because
I just had my spiked eggnog. So is Lenin in Lenin's tomb? Like John Lenin?
Right. Yeah.
Who's buried it? Well, I think he's in Grant's tomb, actually. Yes.
Yeah.
The only Marx and Lenin that I have any use for are Groucho Marx and John Lenin. You know, I think the Firesign Theater had an album called All Hail Marx and Lenin, but it was Groucho and John. So it just frustrates the hell out of me to deal with these twerps. You know what a twerp is, don't you, according to Kurt Vonnegut?
No.
Oh, is it Chirp's brother?
No, it was in one of his books. It's a twerp is a person who has a set of false teeth inserted into his butt, who sits on a streetcar biting the cushion buttons off of the seat car seats.
Oh my God.
It's somewhat dated, but I mean, when I hear twerp, it changed my.
I read somewhere once, I think it was, I read somewhere once that J.R.R. Tolkien was the first person to coin that word, twerp. Don't know if there's any truth to it or not.
I do not know. But you're right about earlier when you were talking about Pelosi. It's that old thing. Give them enough rope, and they will hang themselves.
They always do overextend themselves, Scott. And I think they're getting to that point.
I think Speaker Pelosi knows what she's dealing with, and I think she is behaving and choosing her moves to achieve a certain end, and one of them may be to send him babbling off into the distance. I mean, I love the complaint, and I've referred to it a number of times. The complaint that we heard during the impeachment debate: well, you're disenfranchising 63 million Americans. Well, it's not like, and then they say Nancy Pelosi. It's not like Nancy Pelosi becomes president if Trump is removed. The president then becomes who? Wait for it. Mike Pencilneck Geek.
Uber Christian.
Right.
See, that's another thing I don't understand. They could avoid all of the hassle by simply orchestrating a resignation or a firing of Trump. And let Pence step in, because to the appearance in the minds of some people, it would be just a clean slate. We know that he's far from being a clean slate, but it would give us one less thing to bitch about, if you'll pardon that expression. If you don't like what's being said, change the conversation. Well, that'd change the fucking conversation. He's not bright enough to do it, or his ego wouldn't permit him to go away quietly. When was the last time Trump ever did something quietly?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's got to have banners and a fucking brass band to take a fart, take a shit or something, you know.
You are working your imagery this evening, Scott.
Well, the 25th Amendment would be their easiest way out. They could snake out of this, you know. Well, you all seen his speech the other night. He had a mini stroke, and we had to take him down here. And he's just not capable, and we're just going to put him on ice for a little while. And maybe he'll be back, but probably not. Yeah, that would be their easiest way out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But the people it requires to do that are people who lack that essential courage.
The cabinet is more than half maggots.
It's all maggot and 70% lickspittle. That's the thing. It's the lickspittle part.
And being they're all acting, majority of them, do they even have the authorization to do that? You know, I've wrestled with that in my head.
Now, the one thing that I keep finding interesting to ponder is that lovely little phrase in the impeachment clause, and I'll bet Steve and Rick know where I'm going. Two-thirds vote of the senators present. That's what it takes to convict. Not two-thirds of the Senate, not a two-thirds majority, but two-thirds of the senators present.
Yeah.
So there's not even a quorum
for the impeachment
trial, so to speak, right?
I mean, if by some miracle... It was just Chinless Mitch and all the Democrats. Two-thirds of the Democrats voted to convict. He's out.
Yeah. And Bob, isn't the origin of that the simple technology of the time that the clause was written?
It goes back to 1962, Scott, when Kennedy was assassinated. They got to thinking.
No.
Am I incorrect, Bob?
Yeah, we're not talking 25th Amendment anymore. We're talking about actually. Okay. We're talking about the Senate trial on impeachment. Steve.
Okay.
Says that a two-thirds vote of those senators present.
But doesn't that originate in the fact that back in those days, the Congress wasn't an all year round thing? They had a period of time that they were in session. And then they would go away, and going away wasn't taking a taxi over to National Airport to jet back to your district. Back then, when you were away from the Congress, you could be several weeks from returning.
Yeah. It's one of the vicissitudes of its time.
And the originalists cannot argue with that. It's right there written with a quill pen.
Yeah.
On hemp paper.
So, Bob, let me follow this train of thought. So they're going to set up a Republican dinner over at the Trump Tower, Washington, at the steakhouse there. all of them are going to get sick, and most of those Republican senators aren't going to show up to work the next day because they're ill.
Right.
And then we can have the vote, and it's done.
I've got an idea. What we do is we organize a Republican fire festival on, let's say, Bahamas, and get the Republican senators to go there.
Oh, that's a great fire festival reference.
And then not have any way for them to get back to D.C. So there'll be no air travel back to D.C. There you go.
And by the way, here with just a few minutes remaining in the second hour of the program, we are at 2:45. 2:45 gets us finished up through this Tuesday. We knocked down all of last week, last night, and got down to $110 to go. Started at 3:10 this evening and made it down to 2:45. So, you know, anyone inclined to help out, we would love to have your assistance, because this little non-capitalist exercise in broadcasting, we're doing video now, so it's pretty obvious why I say that I can't run this on my good looks.
You know, it's too bad that Trump's space force isn't further along. Keep them away.
You know what? The Trump's space force, you mean Trump's Cthulhu snack? I mean, we all have seen our science fiction space movies and stuff. We realize that Space Force is just going to be up there as a snack for whatever aliens come along.
Yeah, an appetizer, a little entree.
Space Force already existed. It's called Space Command of the United States Air Force.
Yeah, but now they're going to peel it off, and it's going to be something entirely separate. It's going to be Space Force.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean,
all the same things it's been doing.
But they're going to have a different insignia and a different anthem and different generals. And I don't know, if you got Space Force, do you need space admirals?
Is Miss Piggy going to lead it?
Well, they'll need their Space Force decoder rings. I know that. But it would make for a great junket.
We'll have to come up with a new advertising campaign for Tang, what the Space Force drinks.
Tang.
because there's a whole bunch of legislation going into effect at the beginning of the year, and that's one of them. Space Force is going to be a real thing.
Will they have their own song?
Yeah, they get their own song, their own high sign, their own secret handshake, their own uniform design.
You played the jingle the other night, Bob.
From the old mercifully failed Space Force TV pilot.
Bob, can you play that again? I didn't get to hear that.
Sorry, Rick. You'll have to check out the podcast.
Okay, Pat Boone Metal is my next request.
That's not a request. That's
the Ovaltine song.
Pat Boone Metal is not a request. That's a threat. That's what happens if we don't. That's what happens if we don't do some fundraising here in the fairly near future.
Lassie, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Precisely.
Like that. Yeah.
Hey, you guys, talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I'm going to run over here and get my cup of tea that I made before the program and forgot. So stand by. Don't let it be dead air. Y'all got to talk, right?
Right.
Okay.
Is that Erwin I see? E-R?
When Lipton blows the whistle,
who's
you're
going to
have a fresh hot tea.
The T is steeping.
I don't know. I'm EC. I'm not.
Oh, that's you, Aaron. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. It's been a long time. So,
how are things in Helena?
Pretty good in Helena. I actually live in Missoula, but yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, it's cold up here, so we have snow and quite a lot of snow. The skiing's pretty good already up here, so. It's too expensive for me to ski anymore, but other than that, it's fine. So, sounds like it's cold in California too. So
it's cold for our standards, you know, it's getting down to like in the high 30s at night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's close. I think we had it's getting down to 20 degrees, 10 degrees, something like that in the nighttime here. So pretty cold. So most of the homeless people have left. So or shacked up somewhere.
Have they gone to California or where have they gone to?
Yeah, that's what they do here. This is a place where they come every summer. And then they do move. I think they go to either Washington, Oregon, or California coast, and then they come back in the summertime. So we get to help feed them during the summertime here. So, but unfortunately, everything's going pretty well. So, other than that, This impeachment business is really, it's been something else. I was hoping for some more defections on the Republican side, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And even within my family, I don't think it's convinced any of them.
Not your family, but they're thick as thieves, bro. I don't know your family, but you know the Senate they're thick as thieves, man.
Yeah, I agree.
And
yeah.
Even the House, you know, that I've never seen such partisan politics before. You had one guy that I can't remember his name. He switched to an independent just so he could vote for impeachment.
Right, Amash.
Yeah, that's the one. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, guys. Yep, that's him.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just they stick together no matter what.
Yeah, it's discouraging. Yeah, it really is. It's disheartening.
There are actually a couple of defections on the Democratic side, you know, and Tulsi.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, great. Nice to know you're there, Tulsi.
Yeah, what the hell does that
Tulsi
mean?
Tulsi doesn't fucking count. Forget about fuck Tulsi. Let's do a fundraiser, a fuck Tulsi fundraiser.
Fuck Tulsi. Yeah, fuck Tulsi. Fuck Tulsi's present, yeah.
It's the only present she got us.
Bitch. Yeah, no doubt.
Tulsi, she's a snake in the grass, I think. So
she's really scary. She could be Jill Stein. She could very well play that role.
That's what she's seeking to do, I think.
I believe that's what they're grooming her for. Whoever they are, you know, we know who they are.
Karl Rove and the boys in the back room. Yeah.
Right, just trying to siphon off a point here, point there, you know, 1,000, 2,000 votes here, 1,000, 2,000 votes there. That's what made the difference last time around. 77,000 votes, 3 key states, only like I think like 10,000 in Michigan and 20,000 in Wisconsin or something like that.
Right. And did you guys hear about 260,000 people were thrown off the rolls in Wisconsin? All this happy horseshit that I hear about, 63 million votes, you know, you're invalidating 63 million
votes.
These people that you've thrown off the rolls that can't vote at all.
Well, what I want to know, Chris, is now that Wisconsin has supposedly a Democratic governor, can't he, like, undo some of that shit as far as these voters, you know, voters getting thrown off of the rolls and so forth.
I don't know if
he's got full legislative control yet. I don't think the Dems
do. Yeah, that's the problem. And what they've done is they've been stripping, the legislators have been stripping powers away from the executive.
If it's a Democratic executive only, of course. If it's a Republican, they're the unitary freaking executive of the world, you know?
Exactly. They're doing it. They did it in North Carolina. They're doing it in Michigan as well. So
Georgia's getting fucked. Count on it.
I imagine so, Steve.
Yep.
I mean, these people know how to play the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
they know how to cheat, Chris. They know how to cheat. They've got it down to an art, man.
It's science. I mean, they've been doing this shit since the Southern Strategy, and they've really perfected the hell out of it.
And what the hell happened to Michigan and Wisconsin? At one time, they were fairly progressive states. I mean, not just reliably blue, but you had Detroit being the economic engine of the world. Uh-huh. And I know that you know, the automotive industry has changed so much.
Well, look at the amount of money. I'm back. Look at the amount of money that the Koch brothers poured into Wisconsin. They did that. They did that to destroy something called the Wisconsin idea, which was this notion that Wisconsin would be a better place if everybody was as involved as possible in civic process, and that the state university was used for good purposes of improving the lives of all Wisconsinites. The Koch brothers The Koch brothers put Snot Walker into the governor's office specifically to destroy that idea. And they also got behind, you know, Rick Snyder is what happened to Michigan. Snot Walker is what happened to Wisconsin. Oh, and by the way, I had to put the logo back up on the video. I'm taking it back down again in a minute because it just got so damn hot in here that when I went and got my tea, I decided we'd never had nearly naked radio on a Christmas Eve before. So I got my Speedo on, and so here we go. Ha ha! I lied. That's a video reference, not.
Imagine. This is what we get for being good.
I was not about to look, Bob. I'll tell you that much, you know? Not interested.
This is what we get for being good all year.
Yeah, really.
I can imagine what we're going to get for being bad if we happen to do that next year.
Santa Bob.
Bob's bringing back.
Hey, I got the little white beard. I got the red prison orange shirt on. I swear, I promise it's red.
Bob's bringing the package for Christmas to everyone.
Ho, ho, ho.
You get a ho, you get a ho, you get a ho. No, that's wrong. And so, Steve, you were the last one to move the needle so far. So you got us down to 245. Thank you very kindly. That would be
Bob, I wish Quite I could welcome. Help more.
Oh, but, no, you do help,
sold
Chris.
My house. Yeah. It's awful. My situation's pretty bad.
Yeah, I understand.
We understand, Chris. And Bob, I appreciate you doing this Christmas Eve show. I mean, who else? There's nobody else in progressive radio working this week. Now, I shouldn't say that because I don't know, but as far as I know, you're it, you know.
Randy's off till January 6th, for example.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is Harvey off all week? Or is he
He's as far as I know, he started his break last week. Now, I could be wrong. So
Cedar's off for 2 weeks, I do believe.
Oh, and my apologies about
John Brivido's doing his show live right now.
Oh man,
Uncle John. Yeah.
My apologies about the Malloy broadcast last night. It was supposed to go. I had to pre-record, and it was supposed to roll in the 9 o'clock slot, and then it didn't. Because there was some sort of a software,
glitch
playback, hink.
What are you going to do?
But I'll be covering for Mike again Thursday.
You get an A for effort, brother.
Well, thank you. I mean, the podcast went up, the live broadcast just didn't go out.
Cool,
Bob.
Yes,
I'm sorry,
Scott.
Give me Scott. I would like to enlist the assistance of the Horn congregation and family, especially anyone among us who knows a little something about Eastern European languages, like Polish or Slovakian or whatever. When I was a kid, my paternal grandmother, who came from that region of the world, used an expression in exasperation more than anything. Bozhumoy. And last night I'm watching the late 1940s movie with James Stewart, Call Northside 777. And the start of the picture is a policeman gets killed in Prohibition era Chicago in a place run by a Polish woman. And when she comes out and discovers it, she says, Bozhumoy. I even turned on the closed caption, and it doesn't even attempt to say what she said. It says, speaks Polish. So I tried a Polish English to Polish translator on Google. And I because I just am not adept in foreign languages. I couldn't figure it out. Does anyone know what that means? I want to think it means God help me or God help us. Bozhumoy. And I don't even know how to spell it. That's the trouble. And my grandmother's long dead, so she can't help.
Oh, I'm sure there's an app that translates that for us, Scott.
Well, I've yet to find it. And I thought maybe somebody knows something about language or how to find it. Because when I saw it, I've thought about it for years. And I saw that last night and I said, oh, again with the Bozhumoy. It made me say Bozhumoy. And I didn't even know what I was saying. The Horn family is so industrious and reliable. They can't help but find something.
We're definitely nerds here.
Or a padded room for me, it'll be one of those two things.
Oh, and I just had a helpful piece of news. We have an anonymous offer to help knock out fundraising this evening in the next hour, 55 minutes, that is. We have a challenge on the table, the It's Maggots All the Way Down challenge for Christmas Eve, meaning that you get rid of one, and they're like, for instance, if we were to be able to remove Trump from office, you get Pence. And then you spend 3 years trying to get rid of him. And then there's another maggot, and there's another maggot. It's maggots all the way down. So that challenge is on the table. If it is met, if we can find a hearty little band that wants to kick in collectively $100, that'll take us down to only 45 to go to finish the evening. And that's manageable. So thank you very kindly for the challenge. And it's maggots all the way down on the table for this Christmas Eve, 2019. That's awesome. Where'd y'all go?
We're here, Bob.
Okay.
We're here.
I'm here.
You can't.
We're just gazing at our belly buttons, Bob. That's all.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around that a progressive radio host isn't returning to the six. My God, where do I get a job like that? I got to go back Thursday, day after tomorrow, you know?
Well, I try to, and that's the thing. I try to make this program look a little bit more like Working America.
Well, you do, man. And that's why, you know,
I mean, you know,
I have,
do you have, do you have any,
digging up bones, you know?
When you've got a nice contract and you do this work, when you've got a nice contract, it can have as much as 8 weeks of vacation time built into it.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder. Look at Johnny Carson.
Off more than
well, I mean, old. Carson was excessive, and he did that because he could. But Flush Flimball.
Jeez.
If you count it up, yeah, he's gone for 6 weeks out of the broadcast year.
But that's like about a tenth of the year.
But they have the nerve to get on the radio. Shows? No, a lot of them don't. They'll run Best Of, which to me is a joke. I mean, news is a perishable commodity. There's no such thing as the Best Of, especially the way it flies by now.
Well, and it didn't used to be that way.
Right.
If I can put that hat on for a moment.
Yep.
Working in the 80s, I can't tell you the number of Thanksgivings and Christmases I worked all alone in a radio station when the main people, you know, the stars of the station, the morning drive team and afternoon drive, they were all gone.
Scott, then they have the nerve to get on the radio and grovel for more money when they're getting 8 weeks off a year. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well,
it's something I mentioned last night.
Yeah.
This time of year used to be really, there were two times a year that were really, really hard in the broadcast world. Now, I mean, I don't mean like, you know, you load 16 tons hard or anything like that, but they were traditionally informationally down times. And that's Christmas week and up to New Year's.
Right. Well, it's slow news week. Used to be.
That's the key.
Right. Yep.
And August, the congressional recess in August. And it was catch as catch can in August. And the way you dealt with it during the Christmas season was to come up with your year in review. Okay?
So that was like a best of year in review, same thing, yeah. Right? I don't know. I get frustrated. You know, I try to support everybody that I feel worthy of supporting, but it's frustrating. It really is, you know.
Back when I was working, it was common practice for construction jobs to shut down Christmas week.
Right.
Yeah, maybe I'm being a little hard ass, and if I am, I apologize.
You're not. You're not.
Hey, guys, who let the dogs out?
That's Cletus. Karen's home. She's happy.
Little Cletus is happy to see Mama.
Yep.
Has she been digging up bones?
Yeah, she dug some up tonight.
Shit, man. I wish my dog was like that.
So do I.
She's not the sharpest critter on the block, but she's effective, damn it.
These days are, you know, those days of the downtime are gone. I mean, I don't know what would happen. You know, for instance, if I get up or, you know, I'm in this mindset where if I sleep more than 6 hours, well, it's a miracle. It's a Christmas miracle. So, you know, I'll be up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'll run out here to see if there are any presents under the tree. Well, no, because there's no fucking tree. Anyway, and I'm just being playful. But like, you tune in my filthy morning habit. I tuned it in this morning. They weren't there. And it was a canned interview with a guy who's written a book about the Beatles. And what do you, I mean, is there just a general agreement? Because this is not a Christian planet. Everything, everything doesn't shut down for Jesus' fake birthday. I mean, there's going to be shit going on. I mean, I got up this morning to find out that, you know, Hong Kong was going nuts. India is, the Hindu fascist majority is going wild on the Muslims' backs.
Meanwhile, CNN. I turn on the TV when I got up. It's 1 hour segments, the movies by decades.
Yeah,
I'm sure Ted Turner didn't have that in mind.
Well, I mean, what was it? Sunday night, and I fired up ATT TV Now because that's what I got. I fired it up and I thought, well, I'll just catch up with what was going on today. What's CNN running? The History of Comedy. Because they don't really want to be a news channel anymore. It's like tuning in the Weather Channel and watching and finding out that they're screening Twister.
Yeah.
And they're running which a special has happened. On Linda Ronstadt here. In the next few days, I mean, nothing against her. She's a fine entertainment. I like to hear her sing, but...
That I had the biggest crush on her. Jeez.
Yeah. They're running a special on her.
That History of Comedy was a pretty good program. Yeah.
I saw her once. I get your point. Since you mentioned Linda Ronstadt, I had to mention that. Who the hell did I see her with? Oh, I saw her with, I think it was UB40. We snuck like a... like a wineskin in of red wine.
What are this was during bags?
Her this was during her Mad Love tour when she did her album in, like, was it 80 something like that?
I'm not disparaging her. She's a great entertainer, but yeah. I'm just saying the timing's all screwed up.
I was wondering if days of the past, if there were people coming up that could fill in when the stars left, you know, have their big shot at fame or whatever. Isn't there people that can fill in for the stars when they leave for Christmas? I don't know anything about it, but I just was curious.
Call those B or C listers, I think, Irwin, that's what they're called these days.
If something went truly sideways, you'd have to let the C team handle it. Because the A team and the B team, hell, they're on break. Oh, and by the way, Ralphs was serving, Ralphs and Randy and PA were serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department this evening. It's a Russian phrase, Bozhemoy.
I didn't think of Russian.
And it means, oh my God.
Well, there you go. I figured it was, but I had no way to confirm it. Thank you. Well, you talk about the B team and the C team. Does anybody? Here's a trivia question for you. Does anybody know the name Arnold Zenker, Z-E-N-K-E-R?
No, I know Arnold Ziffel.
No, I'm not talking about Arnold Ziffel. Arnold Zenker. He was the CBS executive who had to fill in on the CBS Evening News when the AFTRA strike took place in 67, I think. And Cronkite honored the picket line. And Arnold Zenker and the CBS Evening News.
I remember that, Scott. I was only 5, but I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Believe that. I'll tell you that my team won the pool tournament last night, which actually it did.
And I believe he went on to create a niche for himself as a consultant, just from those 15 minutes of fame or whatever it was.
There you go.
And that's the way it is. I'm Arnold Zenker, CBS News. Good night.
How'd I do, Ma?
You sound like Gilbert Gottfried there, Bob.
Jesus.
Well, I think it seems to me back when several years ago when I used to listen to Hartman, he used to have his producer or his board op or somebody fill in when he was gone on some of the absences. I get what Steve is saying. You know, news is to be served fresh and hot. You know, and some things are evergreens. That's true. They're topics that can always be made to sound remotely relevant. But if you're talking about breaking news, it's like even Meet the Press Daily, which is on at like 2 Pacific time, even that was canned. It was some look ahead to the first 4 primaries or caucuses or whatever. Nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to
work.
Reality doesn't take a holiday.
No.
So y'all get a kick out of this. Do you remember many, 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 many years ago when that one guy made the video shrieking, "Leave Britney alone!" Remember "Leave Britney Alone"?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That was so cool.
And it's the Christmas season, so and almost everybody is familiar with the animated classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? Clarice! It was Clarice, wasn't it? Or was that Silence of the Lambs? Or was it both?
Well, I remember Clarice Starling in Silence of the Lambs, but...
Can you still hear the antlers, Clarice? But so it's all about being bullied, and it's all about being perceived as not fitting in. There's an island of misfit toys. Nobody wants a Charlie in the box. And so folks in the LGBTQ community have said that they identify with Rudolph because he's he would fall within that subgroup of individuals that that are referred to generically as in the queer space because he doesn't fit within established parameters. And there was an opinion piece in the New York Times that was titled Rudolph, the Queerest Holiday Special. This, in turn, caused young Ben Shapiro to have a sad. Now this is the little geek who is over at something called the Daily Wire, and he has come up with the 2019 holiday version of Leave Britney Alone. I need everybody to be quiet because you're on the same channel as the playback channel, but this is too good to let sit. It won't make it into the new year. Leave Rudolph alone. I kid you not. And wait till you hear the voice.
As for Rudolph, the whole movie feels as LGBTQ friendly to me, says Jennifer Finney Boylan, as any episode of Queer Eye or Steven Universe or The L Word. Well, except for the fact that Rudolph doesn't, you know, like, have sex with any of the other male reindeer. So, aside from that, and the fact that it's a children's special, I'm particularly tired of the hijacking of children's literature and children's special in order to promote political viewpoints on sexual matters. Like, it's a piece of children's literature. Cut it out. And the left likes to play this game a lot when it comes to TV. So what they will do is, for example, some members of the LGBTQ community will start saying that SpongeBob SquarePants is like a gay metaphor. And then people are like, what are you talking about? It's ridiculous. Like, stop it. And they'll say, aha, you're upset because we said, you're upset by a children's cartoon? It's like, well, no, you're the ones who are hijacking a child.
See, here's the funny part. It wasn't the LGBTQ community talking about SpongeBob or Patrick being gay or the Teletubbies or Tinky Winky or no, those are all right wingers having conniptions over that. So wait, don't anybody talk because I've still got the pot up on the audio. We're not done yet.
10-4.
To make a point about your own sexual orientation, like what are you? I remember this was a big controversy in the early 90s when some members of the LGBTQ community were suggesting that some of the Teletubbies were gay. And so
Jerry Falwell started all that. Tinky Winky was gay because Tinky Winky carried a purse and had a triangle for a symbol on its head. Because obviously Tinky Winky was human.
I didn't hear that on my
I didn't hear a thing, Bob. No, nothing.
Children's characters and muffles like, aha, trolled you, trolled. How about this? How about you just leave the children's literature alone? Especially because you have a whole wing of children's literature.
It may have hit Ace's stream, but it didn't come through Skype.
To promote these sexualized viewpoints for children. Can't you just leave Rudolph alone? Like, he's got enough problems without you putting your own issues with sexual orientation on his fragile flying back. Hey, really.
Leave Rudolph alone! On his fragile... He's got enough problems on his fragile flying back. Well, I'm sorry you guys didn't hear that. That was Rich. I bet Kevin heard it. Kevin, were you able to hear that?
I heard it.
You heard it? The things you learn around here.
So, Kevin, where was it on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of, were you laughing? Were you laughing your ass off or not?
Kevin.
I'm there now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How funny was it, Kevin?
No, I wouldn't say I was laughing. I would say I was kind of shaking my head in disbelief, thinking how stupid the guy sounded. So, you know.
So what else is new for, you know, more conservative morons, right?
Well, the funny thing with Ben Shapiro, though, that little neo maxi zoom dweeby is a darling of the right wing, and what you didn't hear passes for trenchant cultural observation on that side of the aisle. The homos are trying to take Rudolph away from us.
Can you post it later on your Facebook, because I'd like to hear it.
I think I just X'd out of it. So it's, look up Ben Shapiro, Leave Rudolph Alone. You'll find it.
Okay. Now, you made a reference to Britney. Was this back when she shaved her head?
When she shaved her head, clipped her toenails, you know, just back when the whole world was a cult of Britney. And that one little guy, leave Britney alone.
And she was sort of having some issues from a mental health standpoint, I think.
Yeah, it could be.
She was the Miley Cyrus of her day.
Yeah, although Miley's, you know, much seems more level-headed. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, they're doing amazing things with medicine nowadays. Psychotropic drugs and...
You got
to cut that one. Has my receiver gone?
That sounds like dinner. Is dinner ready, Bob?
No, it's just that I can't.
Going in there, man.
Hungry Jack.
I can't get real loud with the cowbell because we have neighbors.
Oh.
You know, back at home, the Confederates on one side are a good 200 yards away or 100 yards away, and the other neighbors on the other side are, you know, a good 50 yards away, so it doesn't matter.
You're still down south, I take it.
Yes.
Oh.
And by the way, Nitwit Nero and Melanoma managed to go to church this evening, and somehow or another, he wasn't struck by lightning, and no one held a mirror up to her. So yeah.
Hey, buddy.
I wish he'd, you know, it was a good service. It wasn't the best service. I kind of wish they would have, it would have been nice if they would have read the Christmas story from 2 Corinthians. You know, there were three wise men and there were four shepherds in 2 Corinthians.
See, this is another reason why CNN and MSNBC need to be in news mode. Because, you know, Trump walking into a church, anything can happen. I mean, the roof can come in.
Yeah, precisely.
I am out front here on the front porch of Shea Guru, feeding the one squirrel who showed up today. Speaking
of Guru, did you see today where Baba Ram Dass died?
Yes. There are two pretty good documentaries. One is on Netflix. I think it's called Going Home. It's about a half hour about Ram Dass. And the other is on YouTube. It's from several years ago. And it's Dying to Know, KNOW. And it's partially about Ram Dass, but it's also about Timothy Leary. And the way that their paths were together in terms of finding out about the nature of life and aliveness, but they diverged at one point. And that's a very, both of them were good, but the one about going home was only done like a year or two ago, where he's toward the end of his presence on this plane. I'm talking about Ram Dass. But, the one that was called Dying to Know was awfully good. Those are my two viewing tips, I guess.
I did see that, and I remembered one evening we talked about Be Here Now and all that. Hey, we're almost out of the program, and we are in dire jeopardy of leaving a $100 challenge just sort of laying there on the table. We need five folks at $20 or 10 folks at $10 just to at least knock down that challenge, because when people take the time to put them up there and offer to double your money, it's a real pity to just leave it lay. So, you know, we got about 31 minutes left in the program and $100 out there just begging for someone to let our anonymous friend, for the sake of the It's Maggots All the Way Down challenge, double it. So, you know, hopefully. Let's see here. Looking in on email. Poor Rudolph, says Lee in New York. It's tough when you're created by a company like Montgomery Ward. Yep, pure marketing. And meanwhile, Lady B with a note. Steve from Georgia Stan says, Little Cletus digs up bones. Then Billable Rick says, I wish my dog would dig up bones. And the only thing I could think of was, Steve, it's not about the cat. Wait a minute. But Afghan quilts coming from Africa, and somebody commenting, complimenting Jesus on his nails. Lord have mercy, Jesus, if I go to hell for laughing at that, I swear to God I'm taking all you motherfuckers with me. Merry Christmas to those who get the jokes and those that eventually will. Love you all. Looking forward to your Christmas tales on Thursday, Lady B.
Cheers, Lady B.
Merry Christmas, Lady B.
Speaking of Rudolph, they're having to rewrite all of that because now it's like Lindsay, the brown nose reindeer. He flies just as fast as Donald, but he doesn't stop as quick.
Lindsay, anyway. I gave you a cowbell. What, you want more? You want rim shots too?
No, never mind, Bob. I'm very anxious to have this year be over. This year has kicked my ass around the block. I'm hoping that something, I don't know where Mercury is, if it's in retrograde or what the fuck's going on, but this year has been tremendously challenging. And I don't know about the rest of the Horn family, but are we in a, is it just because of Trump and the relentless nature of that absurdness? Or is there something, is there, I don't know. You know, and there's something refreshing about getting into a new decade. And I know there's that old argument about whether the decade starts in the 0 year or the one.
It's not an argument at all. It doesn't. The decade begins on the 1 year. Well, we do not count. We do not start counting at zero.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. But then again, getting back to Ram Dass and the meaning of things, what is time anyway? I mean, the natural light and dark cycles, that didn't signify time really until somebody said, well, hey, let's do this, and then we can keep it straight. When that bright thing is up there, that's daytime. And when the little teeny tiny dim things are up there, that's night. You know, now it's all about calendars, clocks, hourglasses, sundials.
Right.
But it's the human construct is what I'm saying. It's
the whole thing. Yes. This is all trees falling in forests and whether or not there's someone there to hear it and whether it makes a sound. I mean, for instance, certain isotopes decay at certain verifiable rates, and they're going to decay that way whether human beings have sorted out a means of determining it. But if there's no one there to perceive the decay, does the rate matter?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it matters in the grand scheme of the universe, but the universe has to have someone to observe it to make it real.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all that shit that makes your head hurt so bad in philosophy class and makes you go, ooh, fuck, when you study some serious Eastern religion the religions that don't have mono gods in them, you know, gods with mono, bearded juvenile delinquents in the sky raping little 13-year-old girls and all that shit.
Yeah, but I love that stuff.
You're not supposed to say you love that stuff when I say God's raping little 13-year-old.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Stop that,
Scott.
You're making God sound like Jeffrey Epstein, Bob. Stop doing that, man.
No, Jeffrey Epstein sounded like Zeus.
Let the record show I am not ripping a page out of Lolita. ripping a page, that would be kind of a non-apt way to describe it. But no, what I'm saying is most people, you could stop 100 people on the street and ask them about some weighty thing or some basic assumption that we all make in regard to time or being or meaning or whatever, and they would look at you just with a slack-jawed expression on their vacant face. I mean, and when you start thinking in the more cosmic areas about the weightiness of matters, it's sooner or later comes down
to our behavior in the world, and who we are and who we claim to be, and how that shows up in tangible, measurable ways. I mean, and this whole thing about these people who claim to be religious. Have you been following this thing about Christianity Today? The soon to depart editor of the
Yes.
Finally grew a pair of balls and wrote a rather truthful editorial about people. You were going to fuck up your own he didn't put it in these words, but he said basically you were going to fuck up your whole future and reputation if you continue to hitch your wagon to this fallen star. Or words to that was the message of what he was trying to say.
Words of wisdom, brother. I hear you, man.
Well, I looked up the stats for Christianity Today. It's been around since Billy Graham founded it,
right,
a year after I was born. Their current print circulation is like 130,000, of which 36,000 copies are given away. Their website, I don't know how many hits that they get, but you're talking about Christian fundamentalists in this country that number from 90 to 100 million. It's like farting against thunder.
But that doesn't mean he shouldn't have done it. And the fact of the matter is there are, I suspect, I'm cutting some slack here.
Farting against thunder.
I suspect that there are a number of, and I mean, I know there are because there, I get notes from members of the people who are Christian members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. And they talk about how they despise Trump. But I also hear that they can't say that out loud in their churches because they will be shunned. They will be driven from the congregations that matter to them.
Well, I would say good riddance to that congregation then.
It's not that easy, Steve. It's really not.
I got your attention. Tomorrow, do you have plans?
I'm going over to a friend's house tomorrow.
Okay. Well, you're welcome here. We got a Christmas ham one.
Well, thank you, but that's a very, very long drive.
You said Alabama. You were in Alabama, Georgia. I didn't know.
Yeah, but thank you though. That's really sweet. No, I'm up in the Shoals.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. That's quite the schlep.
Yeah.
Bob, sorry for
interrupting.
That's okay.
No. You touch on something about the people who see the clear and present danger in the Christian congregations, but feel compelled to stay silent. My understanding, and I think there's even New Testament scripture along these lines from Jesus himself, we are to be leavening agents in the bread dough known as the world.
Yeah, and see that, but that's never really worked very well. Because one of the big disconnects and one of the reasons I'm not part of it, I was dipped by the heel in it, is that it is the religious hierarchies are so at odds with the actual teachings of Jesus. There's nowhere in the Gospels where Jesus says, "Build a magnificent palace encrusted in gold for the Bishop of Rome." It's just not there. Yeah. And as the late great Sam Kennison once cackled, "I want to be there at the pearly gates when Jim Baker shows up and Jesus says, where the fuck did I say to build a water slide?"
Yeah.
Okay.
God. We could use Sam Kennison today.
And for those who say, I just get out of that congregation, I don't pay so much attention to it when I'm back home in West Virginia, because I've got a lot of friends whom, if you want to find them on a Sunday morning, go knock on their door or peck on their bedroom window, because they're asleep. Okay. But in a place like this, the churches are packed every Sunday, and there's one Catholic gospel shop, in downtown, and there's another one out in the county. It's been around for a long time, 1898. It does a reasonably good business. but compared to the Churches of Christ, there's one of those on there's one of those every mile and a half. And the Baptists are all over. There's, you know, little Methodists here and there, a little Presbyterian here and there. The Presbyterians and the Episcopals were here early, and of course they represented the moneyed class. And then the great wool hat unwashed show up, and they're your Baptists and your Pentecost, you know, your Baptists and your fire breathers, and that's your Churches of Christ and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. The Gaspers. Ha!
Ha! Yeah. And along the way, I mean, I didn't check. You know, we've got a little Unitarian Universalist fellowship here. I thought, you know, I didn't know they might be decorating a Hanukkah bush with question marks this evening or something. You know, there's a, I think Temple B'nai Israel, or Temple B'nai Dixie. I'm not sure. Whatever it is, it's been here. It's been here for a while.
Temple B'nai Disney.
Dixie, oy. Damn it, Dixie. It was a joke.
Oi, y'all.
Y'all. And. You know, they had a rich and vibrant life in the history of the city, still do. But if you know, to simply walk away from one of those congregations, if you've never been part of one of those things and been subject to being shunned from one, you have no idea how painful it is. Because all of your social life, and this is how they get you, you know, it's not just that they're attending to your spiritual needs. They're also, I mean, the church that I was raised in has a fucking bowling alley now. Okay?
It's almost like a mob family, isn't it?
Well, no, what they're trying to get you in and keep you in, whatever it takes. And in the modern era, it takes a lot. I mean, and what's really big here are the so-called non-denominational outfits. Jesus God. And those are all cults of personality with really, you know, charismatic, you know, most of them are your Joel Osteen types and whatnot.
They got Starbucks and McDonald's and
they got and
TJ
they got
Cakes.
And they got a and they
hey,
got,
who is that? That Tracy.
It would be me, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy. How you doing, hon? Merry Christmas to you.
Merry and happy
Merry
Kwanzaa.
Christmas, and yeah, happy Kwanzaa and all that
happy
stuff.
Happy Kwanzaa and all that other bullshit.
So all that happy stuff. But.
Well, you know, just to kind of ring it, co-sign on what Bob is saying, because I was a member of a Baptist church, and
they will suck.
My whole life was wrapped up in that church. I mean, and when I left, it wasn't because of anything, my church was in a mega church or anything like that. But it got to the point, it was just too far. I moved to the Valley and I wasn't driving to 84th and Central on Sundays anymore. But it got to that point, though. But I used to drive. Hell, when my mom moved to Lancaster, she used to drive all the way to that church because that church was our lives. I grew up in that church. My whole social circle was at that church. So, like Bob said, you just...
Where'd you go, Tracy? Hell, where'd everybody go?
I'm still here.
Okay, I hear Kevin, but I must have lost the Skype feed. That's weird.
I think you did. I don't hear him at all.
I divorced myself from people who are Trumpets or Trumpansies. But again, those people aren't part of my immediate, you know, world. So it's easy for me to walk away.
Right.
Even my brother-in-law who did vote for Trump, I do not break it up because then I'm going to cut a motherfucker. So for the sake of my sister, you know, we don't discuss it. On besides the fact, I live in L.A. They live in Oregon. So it's not, again, it's not like I have to deal with him on a regular basis. So
I feel you. Karen's wife is a Baptist minister. I know, you know, I know. And I was nursed in this environment. You know, you went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then you had Wednesday a revival, two times a week. And it just didn't end, man. It never ended.
Especially like for us, when we have pastor's appreciation, because the pastor appreciation coincided with the church anniversary. And so basically the whole fucking month of October. I used to hate October.
They would pray for revivals. Lord, send a revival. And I'm like, please, Lord, don't send no
Lord, send a revival.
No, yes. Please don't.
Please don't. We need a revival.
I always wondered who it was needed the reviving.
I'm cool. We here, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to be revived.
Yeah. Do we really, you know, are we doing such a bad job of it?
This is as much church as I need, you guys. That's it, man. That's my new church, and that's what I'm going to keep.
Common sense.
Yep.
Aub Kincaid.
And you know what? I have happy news to announce. Thanks to Frank and Steven and Larry in Liberalville and Mark, the Maggots All the Way Down challenge has been met. And we are done with fundraising completely for the evening.
That's awesome, Bob.
Which leaves us actually a little bit, a little bit to the good on Thursday, which is awesome.
That is awesome. Well, I don't have much time left. I got to go spend some time with Karen. I just wanted to tell you.
Tell Karen Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays for us.
And, but I do. I love each and every one of you.
We love you so dearly, Steve.
You too, Steve. Merry Christmas to you and the
Merry Christmas, Steve.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll catch up soon. You know we will.
I'm making eggnog cake right now.
Nice. Where are you at? You're on the other side, right?
I'm on the other side of the country, baby cake. So,
well, maybe
it's the left coast, baby. The left coast.
I love the left coast. I'd be more of a fit there than I am.
So y'all are baking a ham tomorrow, Steve?
Yes, sir.
What goes with it?
I've ripped off the honey baked recipe, and I usually start it out where you just soak it in beer. It may sound gross to some people, but that makes a ham really juicy and tender. And then I've got the glaze from the honey baked people.
Oh, have you ever done the Dr. Pepper glaze?
No, I might have to try that.
Look it up. It's really good.
Cool. Yeah, Jan's making a standing rib roast. I'm making...
Now you're after my heart. Standing rib roast.
Rouse had them on sale, $4.99 a pound.
So whoa! Nice. Jump back. Bone in?
Yeah. Bone in. I got a four ribber.
Nice. Spiral bake? Spiral?
Baby, it's a standing rib roast. We don't start, it's rib.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
So after the ribs come off, you leave some meat on them, and you're going to do those deviled rib bones in the oven?
You know what? I didn't do it last year. I'm going to try this year, but I will be making hash Thursday morning, and it won't be, maybe not Thursday morning, because I'm doing a 5K the day after Christmas.
Nice. So we're doing a pineapple casserole tomorrow too.
Oh, yummy!
Yeah, I'm making cream.
That goes so good with ham because you got that salty and sweet.
I'm sorry,
Tracy. I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay, baby. No, I was just gonna say I'm making cream spinach. The rolls that you know you buy that rise, you know they're doing a refrigerator rise right now. They're in the refrigerator, and we're going to make mashed potatoes. mashed taters.
I love them French fried.
Hey, Tracy,
taters.
I don't know if you're still in the video or not, but I'm holding up a bottle of yuzu. I've got that for the tamales tomorrow.
nice. No, I'm in the kitchen because I dozed off like it and did not take my butter and eggnog out to bring to room temperature. So.
Oh,
That part and the eggs. I mean, it won't take long. It's not too cold here. It'll take oh my God, it's 10 minutes to 5.
The temperature's falling all the way to 60 here now.
No, it's actually, it's when the sun, I don't know. I mean, we have nice days during the day. It's 6, I don't know what it was today.
Oh, 53 now.
But once the sun goes down here, and I know Rick can attest to this. It gets fucking cold. I mean, like nibbly.
It's like leather especially, jacket weather. It's leather jacket
especially
weather.
if there's no cloud cover at night.
No cloud cover. Because,
oh man, it's a lot. And I know you people on the East Coast.
I love my California friends. They're just left off my back.
I mean, and I was the same way when I first moved here about 20 years ago. I used to snicker and laugh and guffaw at the natives because the temperature would drop under 50 and they'd have these big down-filled coats and stocking caps and mufflers and mittens and all. And I spent the first couple of years laughing until winter came that third or fourth year. And I'm saying, Jesus, is it getting colder? Is it me? And it's like 50 degrees.
Yeah, you've been there long enough to become
acclimated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your blood
is like
thin.
I said, I mean, it's cold. I mean, see, I know when there's what I call white people cold. When I see white people.
Now, Tracy, is Balmer wearing coats. White people cold or?
Say what? What say?
Balmer, Maryland, is that white people cold? Would you consider that?
When I see people that I like, you know, I think earlier somebody was talking about it was tropical and walk around with shorts and t-shirts and flip flops, and it was somewhere where it was like 40 degrees or what have you. So when I see white people put on coats, and I mean, like, okay, for example, when I did the 5K on Thanksgiving and white people were complaining that it was cold, I'm like, oh, see, now I know it's cold.
It's gonna because be cold.
There's various levels of cold. There's, you know, people like me, black folk, you know, we cold, just, you know, I'm just cold. I can't take the cold. I actually, I'd rather deal with cold than the heat because I can just I can layer up when it's cold. No big deal.
Or you can snuggle up to your sweetheart too, you know.
There are some people, if they stand too close to a freshly drawn Slurpee, they get too cold.
Hold that thing back
away from me.
Back when we had central heat there at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, the heat, Agnes would usually turn the heat on somewhere around early September, you know, when it's still 90 outside. And you know, me, it wasn't a pretty picture, but you know, I'm down to running around in maybe a pair of gym shorts at best, you know, the old 1970s NBA, guess your religion, gym shorts.
Baby,
you know, I can't take no more off. You're going to have to put something more on. We can't live like this.
Well, I've got one of these, this apartment that I've been in now for like 2.5 years. It was built in the early 40s. And it's the first place I've lived that has one of these things. It's about 5.5 feet long and maybe 1.5 feet wide. And it's basically a gas heater that's built into the wall. Yeah.
Oh,
and I had never encountered that. So the first year I had to have the landlord come and fire it up because I couldn't find any documentation online. You know?
How do I turn the fuck thing on? I'm freezing, damn it.
The trouble is, it's before, I guess it was the El Cheapo model. There were probably versions of it that were hooked to a thermostat on the wall, and you would adjust it that way. But this thing, you've got to get down and lay on the floor to open the little door at the bottom of it.
Wait a minute, yours didn't have the thermostat. The motherfucker. So how did you adjust?
Well, it had a setting where you could make it hotter or not as hot, or turn it off. But you had every time you wanted to do that, you had to get down on the floor to do it and open up that little door.
Oh, good
and,
Lord!
Oh my
and,
God!
And peer in there. And so I only used it the first winter. The last couple of winters and this winter, I've been using a space heater that I have it in here in the daytime, and then at night I carry it in the bedroom.
Care to? No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I may have to break if it starts getting any colder, our version of cold, I may have to, you know, call the guy. Because I don't do, there's two things I don't do well. There's two things I don't do well. Anything electrical and anything related to gas. So you've got something here that's both electrical and gas.
Plumbing. You lose me a plumbing too, man.
So I've got to call an expert.
Turns into a cat in a hat project when I try anything plumbing. You know, you end up with the floor all flooded. So now I'm not doing that anymore. But Duncan, are you out there? I guess not.
Well, it's time for me to shut things down. I really have enjoyed being with you all this evening. I'm so glad you came and shared your Christmas Eve with me and with the entire community. And by the way, I'm too far away from the keyboard to type into the video chat. But hey to Mike and hey to Mark and Bill and Earl and hey to Yuki. Thanks for popping by, everybody who came to watch the video. Thank you again, very kindly. These are the names of those who made a little Christmas Eve miracle this evening. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Larry in Liberalville. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to Frank. Thank you to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. Thank you to Paul. Thank you to Texas T, and thank you to Anatole. All a la carte contributors this evening to this little non-capitalist effort to keep this version of progressive broadcasting alive. So I will, and thanks all of you who jumped in on the front porch this evening. Thank you to Kevin over on the stress line. And we're going to wrap up with, what is for me my favorite and most secular of Christmas carols. And by the way, if you go over to iTunes or Amazon Music or wherever you buy your digital downloads, if you go there and purchase this, I believe the proceeds still go to autism research. This would be Tim Minchin, White Wine in the Sun.
I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I'm hardly religious. I'd rather break bread with Dawkins than Desmond Tutu, to be honest. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to consumerism, to the commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press ganged into selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like it. I'm looking forward to Christmas, though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom.
They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I don't go in for ancient wisdom. I don't believe just 'cause ideas are tenacious, it means that they're worthy. Get freaked out by churches. Some of the hymns that they sing have nice chords, but the lyrics are dodgy. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to the miseducation of children who in tax-exempt institutions are taught to externalize blame and to feel ashamed and to judge things as plain right or wrong. But I quite like the song. Expecting big presents. The old combination of socks, jocks, and chocolates is just fine by me. 'Cause I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. And you, my baby girl, my jet-lagged infant daughter, you'll be handed round the room like a puppy at a primary school, and you won't understand, but you will learn someday that wherever you are and whatever you face, these are the people who make you feel safe in this world. My sweet blue-eyed girl. Find yourself 9,000 miles from home. You'll know whatever comes. Your brothers and sisters and me and your mom will be waiting for you in the sun. Whenever you come, your brothers and sisters, your aunts and your uncles, your grandparents, cousins, and me and your mom will be waiting for you in the sun, drinking white wine in the sun. Darling, when Christmas comes, we'll be waiting for you in the sun, drinking white wine in the sun. I'm waiting for you. Waiting. I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know.
So thanks all. Happy holidays. Thanks to all of you who keep this program on the air. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this broadcast, however you so do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky there around the extraordinary, ordinary round table in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves for Friday on the front porch, and any other front porches we see fit to have. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And love to all my family, wherever they may be. Again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Solstice, Happy Yule, and whatever it is that for you makes this a special time of year. Later, y'all.